You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Friday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, joined by Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. And Rachel, this is slow season already, right? Like, did anything happen in the last week?
Just a couple of contracts, which we'll talk about.
Yep. And that's pretty much it. I see a tweet now pertaining to Jack Eichel. And maybe thinking something could be in the works there. So we'll mention that, of course, as well. And the little news on the NHL going to the Olympics next year is also potentially in the works. Are you watching the Summer Olympics, by the way? Are you into that?
I normally am, but I am not watching this year. Just taking a little break from the deluge of sports and before we get back into the NHL season next month already. Jesus.
I'm normally into it, but I think it's the live versus tape delay for me. Because
the time zone thing is tough.
It's the worst because I'm not staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch a lot of this stuff. And so maybe back in the day, I would have been okay with this. But today, when you can look up anything in a split second, like, why am I watching something that on TV that happened 8 hours ago? Like, I just can't get over that with sports. So the tape delay thing is not for me. You do have the gold medal game tonight between the United States basketball team is going to be in it. So I'll probably be watching that. But like, so there's some things I'll pick and choose. To our Canadian listeners, I know we have a bunch of Canadian listeners. Congrats on the women's soccer gold medal. Were you watching any of that? Because that was an amazing game. I made it just in time for the shootout, and that was it. But
I saw the Twitter reaction, so very happy for all of our Canadian friends.
Yeah, that was cool. Even though, of course, we're big. I'm big into the U.S. women's national team, but.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that stung when they lost in the semis. But I guess if anybody was going to beat them and then go win it, it would have been our friends to the north, because I already can't wait to get back into Canada. I know that's coming in like 2 days for us fully vaccinated Americans.
And I'm super proud of the women's team for coming back after that loss and winning the bronze.
So. Yeah, definitely. It'd be so easy to just be like, tournament over. Just chalk it up, throw your hands up in the air, just like give like half-assed effort. But no, they went out there and they won it. So good on them. A couple of contracts, a little newsy episode here. Just kind of run through some things that happened throughout the week. Nothing major, but nothing insignificant either. The New Jersey Devils, who had like $25 million in cap space still, even after signing Dougie Hamilton to that monster contract last week, they give Tomas Tatar a 2-year deal worth $4.5 million per year. This has always been an analytics darling of a player. He is pretty much a one-way player at this point in his career. He was a little bit better in his own end at the beginning, but
not just so good at the defense.
But offensively, I don't know. It's not a long-term deal. This is okay for New Jersey, right?
Oh, I think it's a great move for New Jersey, which frustrates me to no end. But I think given they had all that cap space and Tatar is a known goal scorer, I think he's a really good option for them to have as in their forward core.
Yeah. Even last year, like, his minutes took a big hit in Montreal. But his points per 60 minutes of ice time kind of went up, 30 points in 50 games playing under 15 minutes a night for the Canadiens. So he's still a productive player offensively. If you're the Devils at this point, you've got all this cap space. You signed Dougie Hamilton, so you're clearly going to be trying to win this year. You're going to want Jack Hughes to take a step forward to kind of lead the charge on that, but why not, right? Like, you've still got $18 million in cap space. Like, why not throw $4.5 million at a guy who scored 60 points as recently as 2 years ago? So I like it for them. They're still at the bottom of that division, though, for me. I don't know, though, your Flyers, I don't want to be too harsh here, but I'm starting to sour on them a little bit, but I think I'd still have the Devils at the bottom. Does that sound right?
I might put Columbus at the bottom.
Actually, sorry. I forgot about Columbus going back into that.
We always do. It's okay.
It's got to be the Blue Jackets. Yeah. Also, Adam Pellick signs an 8-year, $5.75 million per year deal in that division as well with the Islanders. And you think he could have gotten more?
Oh, absolutely. I think he could have gotten 7. I think he is underrated and underappreciated, and maybe that's what's going on here. But having watched a ton of the Islanders over the past 2 years, I cannot say enough about what a quality defenseman Pelech is. And I wish he was on the Flyers, to be honest, especially at that price. Mm-hmm. But I just cannot imagine why he didn't ask for more Islanders, yeah. Lou Lamoriello magic at hand, I guess.
Yeah, I think he kind of falls into that like Jacob Slavin territory for me, where his game is so solid and consistent, but because there's really not a lot of flash there, and because he's part of a really strong blue line, he kind of gets swept under the rug a lot when you think of like great defensemen in the league. But I think I agree with you. He's one of the most consistent passers in the league from the back end. He's big and he can be physical. So I agree. I think he could have gotten more than that $5.75 million. But maybe a little of that there is just the star power, and that it's hard to gain that when you're on the Islanders. Matthew Barzal maybe is the only guy I feel like that's really been able to accomplish that as like individual effort. Like that guy shows up, and everyone else in the Islanders, it's like, well, they're the sum of, you know, what's the saying? You know, the sum of all parts is greater than whatever, you know what I'm going for there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the way things work there, it seems, on Long Island. And then a not so fun story that maybe we should mention here. I know it's been a few days now, but we haven't spoken on it since last Friday. Evander Kane is being investigated now by the league for betting on hockey, which does violate the CBA, which he was accused of by his estranged wife, ex-wife. I feel like she's being called something different every time I'm reading about this. But anyways, obviously something the league has to take under consideration very seriously, because if there is evidence against Kane, like what's the most that could happen here? I don't think there's really a limit. He could be banned, right? If they find out from any of these sports books that Evander Kane was betting on hockey, I don't know. Does it have to be on his own team to just get a lifetime ban? I feel like, but that result could be in the cards here.
Yeah. I don't know what the exact regulation is in terms of having to have bet on your own team or any betting whatsoever. But if there is evidence that they find, there's certainly going to be heavy repercussions for him. And I think the more interesting part of it right now is the rumblings coming out about teammates not wanting to play with him anymore because of the consternation that happens around him, both on and off the ice right now. So even if there isn't evidence and, you know, he is absolved of any wrongdoing here, there could be problems for him and the Sharks.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're the Sharks, how do you get out of that contract? The better question is, who's going to want to take that guy with all of this going on right now at 30 years old, $7 million per year for the next 4 years? Like, I don't know. It's as close to untradeable, I feel like, as possible, because there are a lot of guys with checkered pasts and character issues and like just persons that you wouldn't even want in near your locker room. Like Anthony DeAngelo comes to mind for me for this. But he ends up landing somewhere. Why? Because he's cheap, because you could get him at 1 year, $1 million per year, and you don't have to make a commitment to him. Kane, if you're trading for him with that left on his contract, that is a serious commitment. So the Sharks can want to trade him all they want. I don't know who is taking that contract and who is taking that guy at this point in time, even if, like you said, he is absolved, which I don't know. The guy has been in gambling counseling, which he confirmed. He declared in bankruptcy in January, $1.6 million of gambling losses. I don't want to speculate, but let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if the league does come out with something at the end of this investigation.
A word for BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot, not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
How about Jack Eichel real quick? I know we're going to talk a lot about this on Locked On Sabres, so we don't have to go in depth for it too much, but I've got a tweet here from MSG's Steven Veliquette, former goaltender from the New York Rangers, who I think the only thing I ever knew about him is that he wore a Spider-Man mask, and maybe that's his nickname, but he tweeted a picture of himself with his Spider-Man mask, and the caption was, "My Spidey senses are tingling, Eichel, hashtag NYR." So there's that. Want to throw that out there that maybe Veliquette knows something that we don't. Will that also make you upset if the Rangers in your division go ahead and get Jack Eichel?
Yes and no. I think that it's very unclear what Jack Eichel's future looks like, just with all the medical situation around him, and you know whether or not he gets the surgery and how that heals and all of that. But I don't think that the Rangers, as they are right now, are super dangerous. Mm-hmm. Eichel changes that if he's at even close to his best, yeah, for sure. But I think that the Flyers have played him pretty well overall over when he has been on the ice. And so I'm pretty confident that the Flyers have a solution for Jack Eichel.
Yeah. The Rangers, by the way, coming from a Buffalo perspective, nobody ever wants to hear about them, because first of all, nobody wants the Rangers are like, it's New York City. You don't want them poaching your star player. Like, they get all the star players that they don't draft in all sports. So that's part of it. And also in the media, it's been out there that they've been lowballing the Sabres throughout this entire process, that while teams like Minnesota have given serious offers and Anaheim has been seriously in it for a while, every time you hear about the Rangers, it's, well, they don't even want to give you these third tier prospects that you don't even want. like the guys that you've never heard of that were like second round picks. And it's like, well, the Rangers be hesitant to part with him in an Eichel trade. Like, do you really want Jack Eichel then if you're not willing to part with guys you drafted in the second round, like 2 years ago, let alone Kaapo Kakkos at the top of their prospect pool? So I've never really thought the Rangers were in it that much because it seems like they've been lowballing the Sabres throughout the whole process. Plus, there was a report out there the Sabres don't even want him in the Eastern Conference. They want to send him west. So let alone the reports about them lowballing Buffalo, it sounds like you'd have to pay a premium in general to get him in this conference in the first place. But if it happens here, you know, we'll see what that looks like. I would imagine, just my estimated or my educated guess here, that if these two teams were to make a deal right now, because the Sabres have been so firm on not moving off their asking price, that the Rangers had come around on being willing to part with a Kaapo Kakko in the deal. I don't think they would ever get to Lafreniere, but maybe Kakko has been agreed upon as like a main piece if the deal was to happen here. All right, so that's enough on Eichel, because again, we'll break down that in a little much more detail with the Locked On Sabres. And then the last, I think, big news item from the last few days pertains to the Olympics. We talked about the Summer Olympics are going on right now. The Winter Olympics are next year. And Greg Wyshynski of ESPN has been all over this story, reports that the IOC, the IOC and the NHL still cannot come to an agreement on basic marketing rights. The NHL can't even use highlights from the tournament. He always used the example that if the NHL wanted to market Sidney Crosby, for instance, in a commercial, they can't use the footage of the golden goal that he scored to beat the United States in 2010. But Wyshynski does still say that his understanding is that the expectation in the league is NHL players are still going to go to the Olympics. So I don't know. What do you make of this story? Because I want to go against the NHL here, because they always seem to be the league holding it up. Like, I want to see the NHL players at the Olympics, but I don't know. That's not asking for that much, right? Like, basic marketing rights. Like, I feel like the IOC could meet them at least a little bit in the middle.
I'm very interested to see what the after effects of these Tokyo Summer Games are on the power of the IOC, because I think that's really the crux of the issue here, is that the IOC are the most powerful sporting organization in the world. Maybe FIFA, you could argue there, but yep. I think that, you know, the IOC holds so much power over the economics and the competition of sport in the world, and that they've had the upper hand in these negotiations. But there have been a number of issues with the Tokyo Games, especially related to COVID and how they've handled things, and with the Japanese population and all of that stuff. And I think, like, the sheen is starting to crack a little bit. And I wonder if the NHL could take advantage of that in order to get their superstars to play on Olympic ice to get those marketing rights in return.
Yeah. They also, I'm reading the story again here just to make sure I didn't miss anything. The NHL was denied top sponsor status, which would have had the logo like on the boards and such, and would have given them advertising throughout the games. And basically the story says the IOC's held firm on that because they fear other professional leagues will make the same requests for their athletes at the Olympics. I guess I get that part of it, but it doesn't sound like the NHL is asking for a ton. You know, like, their logo on the boards and the ability to use footage on their website and on TV. Now, it does seem, though, that they've lost a lot of leverage in this department when they broke from NBC, because NBC is the primary carrier of the Olympics here in the United States. So not having that relationship anymore to kind of to have in your back pocket, maybe that's hurt the NHL a little bit here. How into that are you, by the way, like the US, like in the Olympics next year? Because I've been waiting for them to get back to the games for a while because of how good this US roster could really look like.
I'm way more into the women's tournament.
Okay.
But I've been paying attention to that mostly for the last 20 years or so, because honestly, the men's team just hasn't been good. I think you're right that the men's team, looks like it could be better this time around. So I'll keep an eye on what that roster looks like for sure. But, you know, Women's Worlds are in 2 weeks. I'm super excited about that coming up. And then going into next Olympics should be a really exciting tournament, especially because other teams besides the US and Canada are really coming up right now. So I will be keeping an eye on both of those.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for this week, right? Slow news week. I mean, that's August though, right, Rachel? Like, that's kind of what we're going to get, I think, this month.
Absolutely.
So we have some fun stuff coming down the pipeline though, for the rest of the month. I know we're doing a couple of polls around the Locked On NHL Network, and we'll kind of go over that kind of MVP NHL award related stuff. So I know we'll have some fun stuff coming down the road for you. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Rachel is at R Miriam on Twitter. I'll be back on Tuesday with my co-host Mike DiStefano. Check out Locked On Sabres if you want more on that Eichel Rangers rumor. And what do you guys got going on at Locked On Flyers over the last couple of days?
We talked over the last little bit about Cam Atkinson. We got a season in review from Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic in terms of our off-season activities. And I've got an episode on Ristolainen coming up. And then I've got some other exciting guests coming up on Locked On Flyers.
All right, we'll check out Locked On Flyers with Rachel and Danielle Butcher. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.